Honor, courage, and commitment are a few of the qualities that our next speaker knows quite well. Having served our country as a former captain in the United States Marine Corps, she embodies the sacrifice of service. Known simply as Fly Girl, she went from beat cop to combat pilot in 3 years. After serving two tours overseas, she became America's first African-American female combat pilot. She refers to herself as a CBO, Chief Breakthrough Officer for her own company. As featured on Oprah and CNN, Fly Girl works to create a personal flight plan by inspiring us to win on the battlefield of business and life. Be ready to be moved from zero to breakthrough as you have permission to engage, cleared hot. Ladies and gentlemen, sponsored by Cub Cadet, after this short video, please help me welcome our officer in charge for the next few moments. Fly Girl!
In my journey, I've learned obstacles are opportunities. Acknowledge the obstacles. Don't give them power. What's your passion? What's your purpose in that passion? Do what average people do. Have what average people have. I don't want to be average. Do you? Imagine, it's over 120 degrees, and the sweat is rolling down my face. I'd been out for a little over an hour with my attack helicopter section, and we'd been working on a target, taking out a weapons cache, so those bombs and missiles couldn't be used on our troops later. But at a certain point, we got a radio call that said, "Viper, we need your attack helicopter section north of the cemetery. We have Marines and soldiers pinned down, and they need your help." Now, in that moment, if you could have felt the acid bomb explode inside of my stomach. Why? Because we had been out for a little over an hour, which meant we only had 20 minutes of fuel left. And since we'd been working on another target, we only had one missile left on our aircraft. And honestly, that one missile was left on our aircraft because we hoped we'd never have to use it in the vicinity of troops. It was known to be unreliable sometimes. But when your Marines and soldiers are in trouble, you answer the call. Service. So you are inside of the cockpit of this attack helicopter with me. And we head up to the north of the cemetery. We check in with the Marines and soldiers on the ground. And we hear a voice come back, and this one's even more desperate than the first one. And it says, "Viper, we're pinned down. We don't have any ammunition to shoot back with. We don't even have any green smoke to mark our position. Let me know when you can see the glint from my mirror." As you scan down into that cemetery, looking for any sign of our friendly forces, you see a small glint from a mirror come back. Now, folks, when you are down to signaling with a mirror the size of the palm of your hand, you're in trouble. You saw that small glint. You say, "Contact, I see you." I said, "Viper, do you see that road in front of me running from east to west?" follow it to the west. You're going to see a small road that runs north and south. Follow it to the south. You're going to see a building with a tower sticking out of it with a blue dome at the top. Call when you're a contact that building. You followed the first road to the west. You saw the next road headed south. You saw a couple buildings, couple towers, blue dome. Contact. Brick right, you quickly yell out. Why? Because now small arms fire is coming out of that tower, trying to take you out of the sky. You break off to the right. You fly out over the open desert. You turn that selector switch over to that very last missile. You pop up over the ridge, and you are now scanning, searching for your target. Target in sight. Your aircraft pops up, and you are now looking down on the target, finger on the trigger, waiting to come in range. And most importantly, waiting for that magical phrase. You have permission to engage. Because once you hear that phrase, you can pull the trigger and shoot your missile. And folks, when missiles, bullets, rockets hit their target and explode, they're hot, they're incendiary, and you're cleared hot. That magical phrase came over the radio, and you called out, "Missile away! Pull the trigger!" Nothing happened. Marines and soldiers on the ground in trouble, and the missile didn't come off the rail. Possibly, they could be getting ready to go into hand-to-hand combat if we don't come through. You quickly communicate to the pilot in the back seat. You reset a couple of switches, and you turn that switch back over to that very last missile for one final try. And why was it your last try? Because in a few precious moments, you would be too close to the target for the missile to be able to come off and strike, and you didn't have enough fuel to come back around for a re-attack. You pull that trigger one last time. Whew. Missile comes off the rail, impacts the target. Jason in the back seat shoots all 26 rockets remaining on the aircraft. You pull off to the right. You head back to base. You land almost out of gas, completely out of ammo. You run into the ready room. You can already hear the voices coming out of the tent, and you go up to the officer of the day. You say, "The Marines and soldiers, what happened with the mission?" They say, "Ma'am, the target was destroyed. The Marines and soldiers will be coming home tonight." Yes. That experience isn't unique. They're going on right now. So I would ask that you don't forget about our brothers and sisters who are overseas fighting for us. And I want to bring the lights up in the house for a moment. And I love asking this question. And we have some folks in this arena right now who have. If you have ever served in the military or are currently serving, raise your hand. All right, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you. Now, this next question is going to blow your mind. Are you ready? If you are related to, are a friend of, or have supported anyone in the military who has served, is serving, or is getting ready to serve, raise your hand. Whoa, man, look at this. That is amazing. Thank you. Wow, I'm blown away. Personally, just as having served, it was an honor to serve, and thank you all for your service. Like, if you saw all of those hands, we're all connected. One mission, one goal, one team. We're connected in so many ways. But the most important thing, to be of service to each other, to help each other, because we win together, we lose together. And personally, I like winning, right? Today, I want to talk to you, or just have that conversation in a little different way. You have permission to engage. The phrase I got over that desert that day was, "You have permission." I had to wait for permission, but you don't have to. You have permission to engage. It's inside of you. You have that permission, and it's up to you to give yourself that permission to pull the trigger and shoot those missiles, bullets, rockets, bombs, and destroy those obstacles that you have in life. And once you do that, you're cleared high, right? But you have to give yourself that permission to engage in life, to engage in your careers. You know, how much time does it take, you know, for us to keep those record books up year after year? That's pretty deep, right? But it's that engagement. It's staying committed. And I like to say commitment to the commitment. So today we're going to have an opportunity to engage a little bit with each other as well. FAA Convention 11, that's the hashtag. So if you have your phones out, go ahead, tweet, Facebook. I've been taking pictures. I took a picture in front of the big FFA Way sign and on the street. I've had a blast. So I'm going to be putting those pictures out there on Facebook. This is the Twitter hashtag. But one, the most important thing I want you to know is that you have permission to engage. So when I say engage, you say cleared high. Are you ready? Are you sure? All right. Engage. Engage. Oregon, where are you at? Engage. Oregon, where are you at? All right. Now, wait a minute. Here's a good one. Texas, where are you? Yeah, baby. Let's see. I've lived in California. California, where are you? I've lived in Florida. Florida, where are you? Where else have I? Virginia. I live there now. Where are you, Virginia? Well, I have a cousin that lives in Colorado. Does that count? And I was born in the amazing state of Illinois. Illinois, where are you at? All right. You all are cleared hot. You have permission to engage. You know, folks have asked me, you know, Vernice, how did you end up being an attack helicopter pilot anyway? I said, oh, easy. Quick story. It all started out at the age of 4. I wanted to be a police officer that rode a horse downtown. That's right, the Mounted Patrol. At the age of 6, I got my very first pony. Granted, it was a stick with a head on it. But now, I actually got my very first pony. Her name was Tara, and she was awesome. I'd ride in shows, and I was like, yes, I am halfway there, because I knew that I had to prepare myself for whatever it was that I wanted to do. So I go through school. I get through high school. It's time for me to go to college. I didn't have any money to go to school with. My parents didn't have any money to send me there. So I went on student loans, Pell Grants. You know, believe me, if there is a way that you want to go to college, you can make it. I actually saw Mr. Walrath yesterday again. I met him down in Texas. Amazing, amazing man. Is he not? Absolutely. When we're talking about service, that's what it's about. Coming back and helping our community, helping our brothers and sisters. And while I was talking to him, a young lady walked up and said, sir, I just want to shake your hand and say thank you. I'm one of the students that you put through college. I'm one of your success stories. And now I'm a teacher back in the program, teaching students, and I'm with FFA. How amazing is that? Service. So I get to school, and you know, believe it or not, the average college freshman loves to hang out, party, and recreate. But I didn't have any money, so it was a little challenging, right? And I'm walking down the hall, and I see this flyer on the wall that says, free trip to Mardi Gras. I said, what? Oh my gosh, does anybody else see that? And as I got closer, it said all I had to do was join the women's ROTC rifle team. I said, oh no, that is not for me. Partying in Mardi Gras is, sign me up. So I signed up, I joined the team. It was absolutely amazing. And, you know, my grandfather was a Marine in World War II. My stepdad was Vietnam, 3 tours, crew chief on a 46. And my father was Army Reserves and retired after 24 years. So I knew the military was in my blood, and I was ready to sign up and be of service. And it was amazing. We headed down to Mardi Gras, New Orleans, New Orleans for 7 days. Oh, yeah, there you go. 7 days of uninterrupted, unending, continuous partying. We marched for 7 days. And out of those 7 days, we got 30 minutes chaperone downtown. Folks, that's enough time to fight through the crowd to get back on the bus, okay? But I learned something so important in that moment, that I had found something that could prepare me for my passion. I wanted to be a cop that rode a horse downtown, but I was 18. You couldn't be a police officer till you're 21. But what could I do? Join the United States Army as a reservist and learn why? Because of uniform, discipline, physical fitness, everything I felt that could help me get in the police academy, save my butt, maybe even once I got out on the streets, and excel during police academy. So I joined. I took a semester off, went through school, came back, made up all my summer sessions, and that next fall, I knew I wanted to leverage that strategic advantage just a little bit more. So I joined ROTC, the actual program, because I actually loved being in the military and giving and being a part of that legacy and serving my country in that capacity. So as a cadet, you have to go to leadership training, leadership advanced school in the summer, 6 weeks. 5th week in, I saw something that changed my life forever and put me in the room here with you today. It was career day, and I wanted to do anything. Well, first let me say it was about preparation, right? I wanted to do anything where you could shoot a gun or blow something up. And I was looking at artillery, sniper platoon, Delta Force, Green Berets, pretty much everything women could not do. And around 12:30, my battle buddy said, "Armor, half the day has gone by. Can we please go to the aviation tent now?" And my battle buddy was on an aviation contract. Honestly, folks, I wanted nothing to do with aviation. I was all about the guns. And finally, I said, "All right, you're right. Black people don't even fly." Now, we know that's not true. Tuskegee Airmen, Bessie Coleman, Willa Brown, the legacy is long and large. But let me say, it's about access and exposure. What are you giving yourselves access to? What are you giving yourselves exposure to? And in that moment, I can honestly say I had zero mentality because I wasn't open to the discovery. But when we walked into that tent, and I looked towards the back, I saw a black woman in a flight suit. I said, "Whoa, that is cool. Why didn't I think of that?" It was amazing. It expanded my mind to where I eventually ended up flying something like this. Isn't this hot? This is hot. Now, this is the AH-1 Zulu aircraft. Everything in front of that attack helicopter can be utilized. But depending on the mission that we are going out for, determines what we load up on that aircraft. Now, if we take this one step further, but before we do that, I want to get you ready. I'm going to demonstrate. Are you ready? All right, on the count of three, we'll do that together. 1, 2, 3. All right, now you're ready. You are that attack helicopter. And all the bullets, bombs, missiles, everything laying in front of you on that ground are your skills, talents, work ethic, everything you've been doing to prepare for where you are right now and for where you are yet to go. Just waiting to be loaded up for that next mission that you are called to do. We take it one step further. That attack helicopter is FFA. That attack helicopter is America. And all of you are the bullets, bombs, ammunition just waiting to be loaded up to be in service for our nation. That's right. That's a pretty sight. I like to call this my diversity slide, by the way. You notice all the bullets, bombs, missiles. Can you hear that? The rotors above the arena right now? They're landing my attack helicopter out back to take me off a little bit later after this. So if you want to see it, we're going to be outside. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm buying one in a couple years. All of you are personally invited. You get rides with me, but only the FFA, all right? All right. You all have permission to engage. You have permission to engage. How you do it is up to you. When I walked into that tent, I saw that woman in the flight suit, and it blew me away. When I look at this picture, it's very personal to me because we are all role models. We're all modeling a role, and someone is looking up to us to see how we are out there doing it. Our young cousins, brothers, sisters, nieces, and nephews, they're seeing how we serve each other, how we are helping each other, what we're doing out here in the world, because it really is about helping each other. And in this picture, I'm getting ready to go up into Iraq on another mission. This is actually during the war. And this bunker is where all of our equipment was stored, and it was damaged back in 1991. Now, I do need to tell you, I was standing in a bomb-proof, steel-reinforced concrete hangar. Yeah, built by the French for the Kuwaitis. They're currently in a lawsuit right now, but sometimes things happen in life, right? And you have to be prepared. After I saw that woman, it planted a very strong seed inside of me. I ended up becoming that police officer that rode a horse downtown in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, I do have to give it one caveat. Nashville, there you go. I rode Harley Davidson Road King 1350, steel horse, right? Check. But after a couple years on the department, I said, you know, I just could not forget about that woman in the flight suit. So I decided to leave the force, my childhood dream. Like, I was having a blast. I was a kid in a candy store. But I couldn't stop thinking about being a combat pilot. And I said, you know, I can always be a police officer. There was a guy in my police academy class. He was 55 years old. We all called him Pappy. He could outrun all of us. I said, I can always come back and be a police officer, but I won't always have the opportunity to be a combat pilot. So I left the force, drove across country, and became a Marine. Now, folks, you don't join the Marines. You become a Marine. We don't take applications, just commitments. That's the recruiting line, by the way. That's right. And let me throw this one thing out there. Opportunities don't go away. Other people take advantage of them. What are you doing to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of you? And I already know right now, the folks in this room with me, you all are taking advantage of your opportunities. You are in leadership. You're leading your communities, and you're showing them what hard, honest, good work that is going to better our community is all about. Because when I look at the hydroponics and the ag stuff you guys have going on, it is amazing. And in this time of trying to grow healthy fruits, foods, and vegetables for our neighbors, that's huge. And I know everyone isn't into that side of it, but you have to know that the work that you all are doing is right now of huge service to our community. So as I become a Marine, I go through the basic school. I head down to Florida, where I go to Pensacola to get my wings of gold. There you go, Florida. I graduate with my Pensacola wings of gold on July 21st, 2001. I drive across country and I end up in San Diego, California, Camp Pendleton. There you go. Where I am learning to fly and fight the AH-1 Whiskey Super Cobra Attack helicopter. I'm driving north on the interstate one particular day, and I'm listening to some tunes, and the announcer cuts in and says, the Pentagon has just been struck. If you could have felt the acid bomb inside of my stomach explode inside of me. Why? Because I knew that my life had just changed. I'm sure if I asked anyone in here right now, you all know about the events that happened on September 11th that completely changed our life. When I got to the ready room, I ran upstairs, and all the pilots who had arrived for the day were standing, staring intensely at the television, watching the events of the day unfold. We all knew we'd be going somewhere soon. Within what seemed like just months, I found myself in Iraq, flying over the deserts of Iraq, 300 feet, supporting the men and women on the ground. The war started up. The war raged on. The war ended. Things slowed down. And our lead tactics instructor said, all right, we're going to get back to training. We're going to have a tactics test. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, sir. I haven't been studying. I've been out there on combat missions, shooting, you know, flying. He said, armor, you should always be studying. That's the epitome of professionalism. You never know everything you need to know about the aircraft. We're having a test. I said, but sir, I'm going up into Iraq. I'm going to be gone for 4 days on another combat mission. He said, armor, we're having the test when you get back. I said, okay, got it. I got my tactical manual, which was this thick, my safety manual, which was that thick, various other manuals, piled them in my attack helicopter to do what I called studying for the next 4 days. Got back down to Kuwait. We're sitting in a room. You can see the PowerPoint. He's flipping through the slides. 15 minutes into it, I knew I wasn't doing so hot. Have you all ever been taking a test? 5, 10, 15 minutes into it, you say, this is not good. Yeah. The next day, confirmed. I had bombed. And honestly, I was devastated. I felt like I had let so many people down. You know, you hear first this, first that in my bio. And I knew that people were watching me, watching my performance. How is she going to handle combat? How is she going to perform on the battlefield? How is she going to handle stress? Is she going to know what to do? How is she going to get along with the guys? I knew that I was out there setting the standard. And when I failed that tactics test, I felt like I'd let women down. I felt like I'd let black folks down. I felt like I'd let my family down, my community down. But more than anything, I felt like I'd let those guys in the squadron down, my brothers, who didn't see the true potential that I or any other black woman or minority could do. And that was tough to take. Because I passed the test the next week with flying colors, but that wasn't the point. I didn't pass it the first time. And you want to pass it the first time. And I wasn't the only one, but that didn't matter. It was like 12 or 15 of us. But I was the senior person. And you want to do things right the first time when everybody is checking you out and watching when you're setting the standard and you're blazing that trail. Or kind of like when you change your clothes in front of a room full of people and you want to make sure you accessorize. Because you got to do it right the first time, right? So one of the reasons that I was a little upset, or very upset, is because I wanted to be on the fast track. I wanted to go to Top Gun. I wanted to be that test pilot. And when you fail a tactics test, that doesn't happen. And I had a successful tour, and I finished up, headed to Quantico, Virginia for my headquarters tour. I was a diversity officer, liaison to the Pentagon, working on diversity policy, and it was awesome to be of service to the Marine Corps in that capacity. You know, they say bloom where you're planted. Always do a good job, no matter where you are. In a year, I was going to different conferences and seeing different things. It was amazing. I saw people giving back, and I saw a way for me to help in this capacity, sharing the message of how I was able to work towards success using different principles. And one particular day, I was sitting in the car with my bud. It was after a meeting, and we were just talking. You know, honestly, outside of that car, it probably sounded like whining. But inside of that car, it was like girl talk. And I started talking about some of the tougher times and some of the things that were really hard. And there wasn't a single thing that she wouldn't understand. She had been in the Marine Corps over 26 years. And then I got to that tactics test. And I said, had I only passed that tactics test, I'd have been that test pilot. I'd have been that instructor. I'd have gone the Top Gun. I would be back in Iraq right now with the rest of my squadron. And I had to stop in that moment, and I said, you know what? I would be back in Iraq right now with the rest of my squadron. I wouldn't have been here the last year to serve my country in this capacity with Headquarters Marine Corps. I wouldn't have been here when my dad found out he had terminal bone cancer and been able to visit him over 6 times in 1 year. When there were some years I couldn't even come home for Christmas or Thanksgiving because I was thousands of miles away. I wouldn't have been here when my mom called me on a Wednesday afternoon. She wanted to know if I could come home for her birthday. I said, well, Mom, I've already been home 6 times. You know, the Colonel's not letting anybody on vacation. And she was a little sad. You could hear it in her voice on the phone. And as I hung up the phone, I booked that ticket on Travelocity. Then I went into my boss's office. Sir, I need to go home. I already bought a ticket. He did not laugh. But he did let me go home. I walk in on Saturday morning. I'm like, hey, Mom, surprise, happy birthday. And she was so excited to see me. We headed up to the hospital to see my dad. We walk in. My dad was my favorite Marine, my American hero. We got there about 2 o'clock. By 6:07, Dad had passed away. Les Brown has an amazing saying. You can't see the picture when you're in the frame. Sitting in that car that moment with my bud, I got it. I finally got it. Failing that tactics test put me in the room that day with my dad. And in that moment, I knew that given the opportunity, I wouldn't change a single thing about that test. Years of regretting failing that test, I now knew I wouldn't change a single thing. Now, I wouldn't fail a test in the future, but I wouldn't change anything about that one. Why did I change my clothes? Because honestly, folks, it was a blessing to be in the room that day with my dad when he passed away. And one thing I know for sure is that everything in this flight suit is now in this flight suit. And I look a lot more like you now. I'm wearing civilian clothes. I'm not in a military uniform. But everything that's in your flight suit has prepared you for where you are. And there are going to be times when you fall, you stumble, you have obstacles and challenges, but how you respond versus react is truly the key. And how can we be in service to others even when we feel like we're at our lowest moments? Because that's where true success and happiness is. It's about the team. One mission, one goal, one team. We're all in this together. This was my team, Miska Cartwright. In this picture, we're on the Syrian border. And her crew just landed. My crew is headed back. We've been flying night missions for 3 months. I'm going back to the good food. She isn't. That's why I'm smiling bigger than she is. But it's about service to each other. This is not my last slide, but one of my favorite. It has LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. I want to keep the conversation going. I have that hashtag saved in my phone. We're connected. Whenever you need me, just reach out, friend me on Facebook. I look forward to having the conversation. This is a picture of me in front of the attack helicopter that took me into battle and out. Sometimes it had bullet holes, so I didn't have to. This is just a picture of one of my breakthroughs. Absolutely awesome. She's a phenomenal woman. And this is just a cool picture of me in the attack helicopter. Every pilot has one. One mission, one goal, one team. I'll leave you with this. I'm riding in my Jeep Wrangler north on the I-5 in Southern California. That's right. I had just gotten back from my last deployment. The top is down. It's bumper-to-bumper traffic. Fumes are everywhere. It is so good to be home. I decide, you know, I'm probably going to be a little bit late. The traffic is tough. So if I'm going to sit in a bumper-to-bumper traffic, I might as well drive north on the Pacific Coast Highway. At least there you'll see the waves rolling in under the white puffy clouds, the sway of the palm trees, the breeze on my cheek. It truly is good to be home. I got to work a little bit late, but that's all right. I had a doctor's appointment coming up anyway, so I shuffled some papers around on my desk like I was working. Then I head up to the hospital, and I'm standing in line doing what I love to do, talking to the Marine in front of me. And I said, hey, Marine, what's going on? How you doing? I said, well, ma'am, I'm here for physical therapy. I have some shrapnel in my left leg. I said, whoa, shrapnel? Were you recently deployed? He said, yes, ma'am, Iraq.
11th Mew.
I was on the 11th Mew. I was your Cobra air support. Oh, ma'am. You fly Cobras? I was in Iraq. We were pinned down. A Cobra came in, shot a missile. I said, well, wait a minute. That sounds like a mission I was on. Paired it up. Same mission, same aircraft, same missile. And we are hooping and hollering and yelling, woohoo, yeah, all right. And we are not in the psych ward. Yet. And then he stopped. He stood there. Ma'am, you saved my life. One mission, one goal, one team. We're all in this together, and this is why we're doing it, that next generation. So I want to leave you with this, FFA. You have permission to engage. You have it inside of you. Engage! Engage! You say clear or not? Engage! 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 FFA, you are clear or not? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Armour, thank you for sharing your motivational and heartfelt message with us this morning. And thank you for serving our country in the United States Marine Corps. Semper Fi.
It was an honor to serve. Semper Fi. All right.
As we continue to strengthen our ability to believe in that one mission, that one goal, and that one team, we will continue to engage. Right. Clear it hot.
Clear it hot.